Review and Review, celebrating 40 years of audio production, welcomes you to this week's edition of the Glasgow Times Sports Podcast, recorded from our studio in the Bishopriggs Media Centre and by our volunteers working from home. Keep up to date with Q and Review news via our Facebook, Twitter or Instagram at Q and Review, that's @CUEANDREVIEW, or get in touch with us directly by emailing information@qandreview.com, that's information@CUEANDREVIEW.com, or by calling 0141 772 3976. Please like and share our podcast and give us constructive feedback.
Clement gives Rangers right man verdict by Sakala. An article from the Glasgow Evening Times by David Irvine, sports writer. Fashion Sakala is confident Rangers have appointed the right man in Philippe Clement. The former Rangers winger is confident Clement will achieve success in Glasgow after watching his impact in Belgium. Sakala knows Clement from his time facing off against Genk and Bruges when Clement was in charge in his homeland. And the 26-year-old, now in Saudi Arabia at Al Fayha, knows the seismic impact Clement had on both clubs as he tipped the manager for further success in Scotland. He said, "I think Rangers got the right man. I know him from Belgium when he was Genk and Bruges manager. When he was at Genk, they were flying. He left Genk and they went down and went to Bruges and Bruges were flying. So I think Rangers got the right man to do the job there. And I can see already the results and the way the team is playing that they're doing very well. Mostly he's a very offensive coach and he likes getting goals. He is always looking for his team to score first in a match. I've played a lot against him in Belgium, and both of his teams, Genk and Bruges, were very offensive when he was there. I think they got the right man, and you can see that Rangers are flying again." And while Rangers currently trail Celtic in the Scottish Premiership, Sakala is confident Clement has what it takes to lead the Ibrox club to the league title. He added, "The big question is, can Clement win the league? And I think looking at the way the team are performing, I'm very positive. Rangers are looking good. Of course, the other team are doing well, but I'm a Rangers boy and I hope Rangers keep winning and win the league. I'd be very happy for them to win the league." That, as we said, was an article by David Irvine. Matt O'Reilly opens up on Celtic future and his Denmark dream. An article from the Glasgow Evening Times, published on the 14th of November 2023 by Aidan Smith, sports audience and engagement editor. Matt O'Reilly has opened up on his Celtic future, insisting he feels ready to take the next step in his career if the opportunity arises. The Hoops midfielder has been a star performer for Ange Postecoglou and Brendan Rodgers since he arrived in Glasgow back in January 2022. O'Reilly signed a bumper new Celtic deal back in September, meaning he is tied to the club until 2027, but that won't stop some top European clubs from eyeing his signature. Speaking to Danish manager magazine Tips Bladet, O'Reilly discussed his future, saying, "I have played in the Champions League against many good teams and I feel I'm ready to take the next step, but I'm already playing for a good team. It's hard to say what is going to happen." The 22-year-old also told of his aspirations to land his first full Denmark cap, and that could happen this international break with star man Christian Eriksen out injured. He said, "I try not to think too much about it, but my 85-year-old grandmother really likes reading about it and she watches every match I play for Celtic. She's been to the stadium, but she watches most games on TV because she lives in Horsens. She's crazy enough. She's on Twitter every single day, just scrolling, scrolling, scrolling. That's why she's still alive, I think. She doesn't have much time left, so it would be significant if I make my debut while she's still alive. I hope I get to play while she can still see it. I'm a quiet type who doesn't go around talking much, but on the training ground I can show a bit more. It has been easy to integrate into the team, and I've talked to most of the players. Before the San Marino game, Hjulmund showed me a bit about the tactics, so I know how I should play if I get on the field. I'm sure we need to have more conversations. I can play as a 6, 8 or 10. Christian Eriksen is not with us, and he is the player with the most quality. Maybe it increases my chances of getting playing time, but at the same time we have many good midfielders. From the Glasgow Evening Times, that was an article by Aidan Smith. Steven Gerrard and Fashion Sakala on their Rangers Saudi reunion. An article by Aidan Smith, Sports Audience and Engagement Editor. Steven Gerrard and Fashion Sakala enjoyed a Rangers reunion at the weekend as they linked up for the first time since both made the move to Saudi. The meet-up in the Roshan Saudi League saw Sakala's Al-Faya play Al-Etifak, whom former Ibrox boss Gerrard manages. The Zambian attacker, who enjoyed a warm embrace before the game and a long chat afterwards with the man who signed him for Rangers, had two golden chances to win the match, which finished 0-0. Sakala, however, hit the post from a tight angle after rounding the goalkeeper and then later saw a one-on-one shot partially saved before being cleared by former Celtic defender Jack Hendry near the goal line. Gerrard said, "You could see in the game against us that he was a threat, and I'm glad he never scored because I wouldn't have heard the end of it. But I love Fashion Sakala, he's a special boy and he should never change. Fashion Sakala is one of the nicest, most humble guys I've ever met, never mind coached. He's a wonderful boy, he's happy, he's bright, he wants to learn every day and he appreciates being a professional footballer. He was a joy to coach and work with, and I'm so happy that he's doing well here." 26-year-old Sakala, who has the African Cup of Nations to look forward to with Zambia in the new year, has scored 6 goals in 19 games, in all competitions for Al-Faya this season. His side, who play in orange shirts and socks and blue shorts, are 8th in the Roshan Saudi League table with 16 points one place and 6 points behind Gerrard's Al-Etifak. Sakala joined Gerrard at Rangers in the summer of 2021 before moving to Al-Faya in the Roshan Saudi League this summer. Al-Etifak boss Gerrard also moved to Saudi Arabia in the summer, having managed Aston Villa in the Premier League in between. Sakala said, "It's always special to see the man who trusted me playing for Rangers. I had a good time with him and it was nice to see him. It's just unlucky that I didn't score. I tried. I really wanted to score. It's just unfortunate. It's always a pleasure to meet such legends in the game, and getting good advice from him is always a pleasure." Al-Faya's Serbian manager Vuk Razovic revealed he'd made signing Sakala, who moved from Rangers to the kingdom for a reported £3 million, a priority purchase. Razovic said, "Fashion has, he was my wish. I'm very thankful to the board for bringing him here. We had long conversations with Rangers to bring him, and in the end he came. I'm glad he did. He enjoys playing football and he always plays with a smile. I have told him he must score more goals. But I saw his hug with Steven Gerrard and joked with him, ah, now I know why you didn't score." All jokes from his manager aside, Sakala says he is loving playing football in Saudi Arabia. He said, "I'm enjoying playing football in Saudi Arabia very much. The league is good. I wish I'd scored on Saturday. I was really looking forward to scoring and it was just unfortunate not to score. I tried my best and the team played very well. That's the most important thing. I think that the team that we are building is looking very good, and I think you could see that in the way we played. It's just unfortunate we didn't score, but a point is better than losing. I'm looking forward to better games." The article, as we said, was by Aidan Smith, who you can contact on X, formerly Twitter, at SmithAidan1. Unusual Klinsmann, South Korea policy, hands Celtic star or boost. An article from the Glasgow Evening Times on the 14th of November 2023 by Mark Walker. Celtic striker Oh Hyun-gyu and the rest of his South Korean teammates have been given the green light by Jurgen Klinsmann to spend time with their girlfriends and families during their World Cup qualifying camp this week. The 22-year-old headed off to Asia in fine form after netting a double in Celtic's 6-0 romp against Aberdeen on Sunday, and he also scored a late winner against St Mirren at the start of this month. South Korea faces two huge games this week in World Cup qualifiers, at home to Minnows Singapore and then away to China at Shenzhen. But relaxed manager Klinsmann has adopted an unusual policy for the ties, with the former German World Cup and Euros winner and manager insisting he won't keep O and Co locked up in their base. He said, "I've told them all if they want to visit their girlfriends or their family, fine, no problem, they're all adults. As long as they are here for training, meetings and mealtimes, there is no problem as long as we win the games. As a manager, it is important to understand the environment in which the players grew up. Working with young people is interesting. But there is a difference between the young people of my era and the young people of today. All players must have a sense of ownership and responsibility. Football is a sport played by players themselves. The manager absolutely cannot do it for them. The atmosphere in the camp is really good. O is in line to win his 7th cap for his country against Singapore tomorrow. He has yet to score for South Korea." That was an article by Mark Walker. This is Alistair standing in for Bill.
This is from the Glasgow Times on Wednesday, the 15th of November, 2023. From the sports section. Aberdeen apologise as Rangers fans claim Viaplay Cup final ticket raid. Report by Aidan Smith, Sport Audience and Engagement Editor. Aberdeen Chief Executive Alan Burrows has issued an apology to supporters after backlash over ticket sales for their upcoming League Cup final with Rangers. The Scottish Professional Football League previously announced that Rangers will receive about 25,000 tickets, roughly half the capacity of Hampden, but the Dons will only be allocated up to 19,500 seats for the December the 17th showpiece. Aberdeen expressed their extreme disappointment and frustration after a robust case for a 50-50 split of tickets for the Viaplay Cup final was rejected. The Pittodrie Club have now sold out their initial allocation of 17,000 tickets, with the first batch going to supporters with 200 loyalty points. Briefs then went straight to a general sale, and some fans have been left disappointed after missing out. Burrows has now apologised to fans regarding the ticket arrangements, but he insists season ticket holders and high points holders will be given priority as a second batch of 2,500 tickets go on sale. Posting on Twitter, Burrows said, "Dons fans, I understand that from the tweets and replies, we have a lot of frustrated dandies posting about Viaplay Cup final tickets. We have, at the moment, sold out our initial allocation. We have been given up to 19,500 tickets. The first lot of circa 17,000 have gone almost immediately. The ticket office set a threshold at 200 points to buy one ticket each. Then, this afternoon at 5 p.m, the remainder went on full general sale. Although it was for the right reasons, in hindsight, this was an error on our part. We should have had a second sales period for lesser points before, i.e. 100 to 199, before full general sale, ensuring there was more control. That's a lesson we'll learn. I take responsibility for that, and I am very sorry to those who are currently feeling frustrated. The good news is that we are still expecting another approximately 2,500 tickets, and we will ensure when we get them that priority is given to season ticket holders, higher point holders. If you have so far missed out on tickets and want to go, please email ticketoffice@afc.co.uk. And the team there will look to sort you out as soon as we receive the additional batch through. We're putting pressure on SPFL to have these to us ASAP. This does bring into sharp focus our plea to have been given the opportunity to sell out Hampden on a 50-50 split. Given we've sold 17,000 tickets in just a few short days, I think it's fair to say there is a high probability we could have sold out a 50% share had we been given the chance? After Burrow's tweet, a number of Rangers fans responded, claiming they were able to purchase tickets in the Aberdeen end for the Hampden showdown. One wrote, "Thanks for putting them on general sale, Alan. Just thinking from a practicality point of view, is it possible to allocate a specific section for the Rangers fans who bought today? Will help with security and everyone's enjoyment." A second tweeted, "Will there be a Rangers section within the Aberdeen end? Me and a few friends have bought tickets from your allocation, as we don't go to Ibrox for the wee games, so won't be offered a ticket from Rangers. Thanks, Alan." And a third added, "What are we going to do about us Rangers fans who have bought tickets in the Aberdeen end?" Aberdeen had proposed that they hold back five sections of the North Stand and hand back tickets to pass on to Rangers by a certain date if the demand among their fans was not evident. An SPFL spokesperson explained, "Deciding ticketing allocations for cup finals is always a challenging task, as more fans invariably want to attend than the stadium can accommodate. We take a range of factors into consideration, including the number of tickets each club sells in the semi-finals, as well as their historic ticket sales in any previous League Cup finals and semi-finals. In addition, the design of the stadium and its ability to split sections is a major factor which influences our decisions, together with input from safety and security authorities to ensure fan safety and appropriate segregation." The league added that the split was broadly the same configuration as Aberdeen's previous League Cup final appearance against Celtic 5 years ago. There were 28,295 fans at the semi-final between Aberdeen and Hibernian. The Dons were confident of selling a 50% allocation, given they took 43,000 supporters to Celtic Park when they last won the League Cup in 2014 by beating Inverness in the final. That report was by Aidan Smith. This is from the Glasgow Times. On Wednesday, the 15th of November, 2023. From the sports section. Georgia versus Scotland. TV channel, live stream and kickoff. Report by David Irvin, sports writer. Scotland travelled to Tbilisi to take on Georgia in Euro 2024 qualifying this week. Steve Clarke's side have already qualified for the finals in Germany, but have two matches remaining. The first is an away match to Georgia on Thursday evening before the final group fixture against Norway at Hampden. Scotland sits second in Group A qualifying, with 5 wins and 1 loss from 6 outings so far, which sees Clarke's men sit level on points with Spain. And the Scotland squad will be hopeful of closing out an already memorable and ultimately successful qualifying campaign on a high. Here's everything you need to know about Georgia versus Scotland. When is Georgia versus Scotland? Scotland take on Georgia in Tbilisi tomorrow, Thursday, November the 16th. The match will be played at the Boris Pichadze National Stadium. Kickoff is at 5 p.m. Is Georgia versus Scotland on TV? Yes. The match will be broadcast live on Viaplay Sports. Coverage will begin at 4:30 p.m. Can I stream Georgia versus Scotland? Yes. Viaplay Sports subscribers can stream the match online. Who is in the Scotland squad? Goalkeepers Xander Clarke, Heart of Midlothian, Liam Kelly, Motherwell, Ross McCrory, Rangers. Defenders, Liam Cooper, Leeds United, Josh Dugg, Hellas Verona, Jack Henry, Al Ittihad, Scott McKenna, Nottingham Forest, Nathan Patterson, Everton, Anthony Ralston, Celtic, Ryan Porteous, Watford, Greg Taylor, Celtic. Midfielders, Stuart Armstrong, Southampton, Lewis Ferguson, Bologna, Billy Gilmore, Brighton and Hove Albion, Ryan Jack, Rangers, John McGinn, Aston Villa, Callum McGregor, Celtic, Kenny McLean, Norwich City, Scott McTominay, Manchester United. Forwards, Jacob Brown, Luton Town, Ryan Christie, Bournemouth, Lyndon Dykes, Queen's Park Rangers, Lawrence Shankland, Heart of Midlothian. That report was by David Irvin. This is from the Glasgow Times. On Wednesday, the 15th of November, 2023, from the sports section. Rangers legend Paul Gascoigne makes surprise appearance in Christmas advert. Report by Stuart Wilson. Rangers legend Paul Gascoigne has made a surprise appearance in the club's Christmas advert. This Christmas, it's Rangers all the way, features a host of first team players, including captain James Tavernier, Jack Butland, Todd Cantwell, Nicholas Raskin, Rabbi Mataondo and Kemar Roofe. Ibrox heroes such as Barry Ferguson, Kenny Miller, Marvin Andrews and John Brown also make an appearance. The advert centres on Rangers stars of past and present sitting down for Christmas dinner. And Gascoigne makes a surprise appearance at the end in which he is bearing gifts before joining everyone else at the table. Meanwhile, Rangers hero Ryan Kent is being linked with a move away from Fenerbahce despite only joining the Turkish Giants in the summer. The winger left Ibrox at the end of last season after 5 years in Glasgow, but has struggled to make an impact at his new club. According to outlet Haber 7, Fenerbahce boss Ismail Kartal believes Kent has been performing below expectations. The two have struggled to see eye to eye at times, with the 27-year-old being dropped completely from the squad back in September. The same outlet is also linking Fenerbahce with a move for Scotland star Scott McKenna, should Kent leave in January. That report was by Stuart Wilson. This is from the Glasgow Times. On Wednesday, the 15th of November, 2023. From the sports section. Scotland dealt blow in Leeds United star Archie Gray chase. Report by Graham McGarry, senior sports writer. Scotland's hopes of persuading Leeds United youngster Archie Gray to commit to the national side have taken a blow after England promoted him to their elite squad. The 17-year-old was previously named in England's under-19 squad, but has now moved up to what was previously known as the under-20s for matches against Italy and Germany. Gray is still eligible for Scotland through his grandfather Frank, who pulled on the dark blue alongside his great uncle Eddie, who were both Leeds United legends. His dad and former Leeds striker Andy also picked up two international caps under Bertie Voigts. His Leeds teammate Liam Cooper had spoken earlier this week about his attempts to persuade Gray to shun the three lines and instead commit to Scotland. Cooper said, "I'm still trying to tap him up. Don't worry about that. I've been a bit of a secret agent. He knows I'll always be there. He's such a young boy, and his family are steeped in Scottish and Leeds history. There is definitely a bit of sentiment there, but he's flying at the minute with England. He's captain of the under-18s, which is a bit of a stinker for us. But I'll keep nipping away, and hopefully I can break him down." That report was by Graham McGarry. This is from the Glasgow Times. On Wednesday, the 15th of November, 2023. From the sports section. Warburton opens up on very bitter Rangers exit truth. Report by David Irvin, sports writer. Mark Warburton has insisted he would never have resigned from Rangers as he blasted his Ibrox departure as being handled absolutely appallingly. The former Rangers manager left the club in February 2017 alongside assistant Davy Weir and head of recruitment Frank McPartland. A club statement at the time suggested the trio had resigned from roles at the club. However, Warburton has remained unmoved on his position that no resignation was ever tendered. Instead, the manager has claimed he discovered he had been sacked while watching Sky Sports News. Discussing his confusing exit from Rangers on the Scott Score podcast, Warburton suggested his departure was down to Celtic's unbeaten form. And Warburton remains adamant he would never ever walk away from a club like Rangers. He said, "I'll never say anything derogatory about the club, you know that. I was lying on my sofa watching a game. It was 5-9, I'll never forget this. It was burned in my brain and my phone started jumping a little bit. I got an email from Stuart Robertson saying, please check your email. It's a minute to nine on a Friday night, the night before a game. So I'm going to watch a bit of the news, do a bit of paperwork and go to bed. I look over and purely by chance I'm on Sky Sports and on the yellow ticker tape I see Mark Warburton resigns from Rangers. You know the double take. My phone's now jumping. I phone Davy Weir and say, I think I've been sacked. And Davy Weir says, so have I. I said, what do you mean? Then I look up and it says David Weir has resigned from Rangers. So I try to phone the powers that be and no one picks your call up. My agent called up to ask what was going on and I had no idea. Apparently I've resigned and he has no idea what I'm talking about. So in a nutshell, absolutely not. I was sacked from Rangers. We would never ever walk away from a club like Rangers, ever. So that was the frustration, that people suggested we had resigned. Nonsense. Absolute nonsense. It was handled absolutely appallingly at the time. You would never walk away from a club like Rangers, and we had to deal with it. The former West Ham coach also explained his reasoning against taking up legal issue with his departure from the club. Warburton is certain he would have won any case over his departure, but claims he avoided going down the legal route to protect his reputation and allow him to keep working. You got all the media saying, well, sue the club, he said. First of all, you don't get embroiled in a court case because you can't work. No one is going to touch you while it's going on. There are different legal laws about English lawyers and Scottish courts compared to the other way around, etc. And you're going to go down that legal route to try and win some money. But your reputation could be in tatters because you've gone legal. Everyone said, he must be guilty. He must have resigned because he is not going down the legal route. What do you win by the legal route? Would we have won the case? Absolutely. I said to someone at the time, if the club could show Davy or I a phone call, an email, a letter, anything at all to suggest that we had resigned, then I would absolutely pay all your legal costs. There was nothing, because we never did. It was just a great shame. We had a really good relationship. We were halfway into working it. To end in that way was very painful and very bitter. I just felt it was unnecessary, because it was purely because of Celtic's unbeaten form. But at the end of the day, it was a privilege to manage Rangers, and that will never change. I haven't been back to Ibrox since then, by the way. I want to go back, obviously, but it's about doing it at the right time. But to be clear, we would never have resigned from a club like Rangers. That report was by David Irvin.
The Glasgow Times on the 17th of November and the sports section. Celtic winger Mickey Johnson delivers honest It's Up to Me verdict by Adrian Smith. Mikey Johnson insists he will give it his all to try and force his way into Brendan Rodgers' plans at Celtic. Republic of Ireland international has struggled with injuries of late, and last season he was set out for a loan period in Portugal when Ange Postecoglou was in charge. Rodgers has since returned as manager, and he played a big role in Johnson bursting into the scene as a youngster. Since then, it's not gone to plan for the 24-year-old, and he knows he is now at a crossroads in his career. He told the Daily Record, "It's not happened yet. Hopefully it does. A big dream of mine would have been to play in the Champions League for Celtic. It's sort of what I wanted to do as a boy, so hopefully it happens. But if it doesn't, it's not the end of the world. No player is going to be happy when they're not playing. Ultimately, it's up to me. I didn't need to try and force my way onto that team. I have until January to do that. I will try and give it everything to do that, but we just have to see what happens. I've not spoken to the manager much in the last sort of month. We've had chats here and there. It's tough decisions for the manager to make, and ultimately it's up to me." Johnson hopes appearances for Ireland at international level will help as it aims to cement a starting spot for his club. Dazen Mida and Lyle Abada are currently out injured, which could have paved the way for Johnson to make an impact. He continued, "I want to be involved in Ireland camps. I want to be playing for Ireland. Realistically, if I'm not playing, I won't be getting picked unless I go out and do really well. It makes it a lot harder. I'm definitely going to have to force my way into the Celtic team or see what happens. I'm not sure what's going to happen in January, but I do want to play. I'm not going to say anything bad about Celtic. I would for it to happen at Celtic. I would love to play. But I'm 24 now as well. I want to play every game. I hope I get some game time there. It does help when the manager, Stephen Kenny, has shown faith in me. He has given me a lot of confidence to go out and play the way I want to, and I want to do that again. Obviously, if I can make an impact at an international level, then I should be able to do that at club level. As you say, it's a big stage, and if I can show that, then all the better. On his general fitness, Johnson added, I'd like to have done a lot more at this stage of my career, obviously. I had 18 months at one stage of quite bad injuries, but I seem to have overcome that now, and I'm playing. I would like to have done a lot more. Obviously, what happens on the pitch affects your life massively, and every footballer will tell you that. It's hard to be happy when you're not doing what you love. It comes hand in hand. People expected me to do more. I expected more myself. But there's been a lot of factors into why I haven't done that, injuries probably being the main one. I didn't have too much trust in my body at one stage. I was afraid to get injured, and there was stuff happening. But I seem to have overcome that. I'm confident again. And that was by Adrian Smith. The Glasgow Times on 17th of November in the sports section. Glasgow Warrior prop Dell still confused by London Irish downfall by Ewan Booth Robertson. It's not commonplace for props to quote ancient Roman philosophers, but Alan Dell has endured plenty of time for soul searching across his career. The 31-year-old has experienced injury torment, and he even considered retirement after sustaining recurring back and groin injuries 4 years ago. After overcoming these injuries, Dell was troubled again when he joined Glasgow in July 2022, as a calf problem made him wait 7 months to make his debut. Dell has developed an introspective view on the trials and tribulations of being a professional rugby player, but he's enjoying playing again under Franco Smith. The South African coach has overseen a cultural change at Glasgow since replacing Danny Wilson, and Dell admires his approach as he referenced Lucius Annaeus Seneca. I enjoy it, Dell admitted, Smith's philosophy. Look, he's a good coach. There's that tough love, but at the same time, he lets you go out there and express yourself. You can tell how well Tavezio are doing and Italian rugby in general, and it's no coincidence that Franco played a part in a lot of the young guys coming through. He came in and established a vision and a pathway, and you can see they are reaping the benefits of that. And you have to have a vision. You can't just be thinking, let's do this and whatever happens. You're probably not going to end up in the right place. What's that saying? If one does not know to which port one is sailing, no wind is favourable. If you've got no vision, then how are you going to measure success? And how are you going to improve? Look at Treviso and Italy at the moment. There are a lot of good young players coming through, and look how well both their sides are doing. I think Franco's got that. He wants people to buy in. He's not selling you anything, but he wants you to come on the journey that he envisions, and he wants you to come and be part of it. And before rugby, he wants you to be the best human individual you can. And then you can contribute to that to the rugby side, because happy people will make good rugby players. And I think the way we play rugby is physically demanding. But when the guys are happy and expressing themselves, they're playing the best rugby. The vision's great. Franco's a good coach. He's had great success, and he's been rewarded with a longer contract, and I'm really happy for him. Now we need to build on last season. Last season was great, but now we need to deliver because we've got the quality, so this is the next step in the vision. We're going well. We could be in a better place, but there's a lot to improve on, which means there's a lot more to come from us. It's exciting. Dell moved to Glasgow last summer, just weeks before the London Irish financial problems became public knowledge. The English club eventually filed for administration, and Dell admits he was lucky that he rejected an option to extend his contract. But the former British and Irish Lion wasn't surprised by their money issues. Even now, I'm quite confused about the whole situation, he admitted. Mick Crossan loved the club, and he's a successful businessman, so it's not like he's struggling financially. But the way the club was being run, you can't have a profitable business model in Premiership rugby. If you're not loaded or willing to carry on spending that cash, when the consortium came in, it was kind of fishy. I just thought logically it didn't make any sense at a club that was losing on average £4 million a year and to make it profitable. Mick said he was prepared to give the club away for a pound to someone who can take it forward. And I thought, oof, but I had already left by that point. When I was there, you didn't really think there were any issues. The club was being run well, so the guys were shocked when it happened. We all were. We didn't see any way the club was going to go down. Luckily, a lot of the players and staff have found their feet, but it's never nice. Glasgow faced the ERC's only unbeaten side at Benetton on Saturday night, and Dellis solely focused on forcing his way into Smith's starting 15, but a return to the Scotland setup would be a massive bonus with the Six Nations on the horizon. I'm not looking that far ahead just now, but if you talk about the bigger picture, then you want to play at the highest level that you can, he admitted. If that means I can produce the level that Scotland wants from me, then I'd love that. But right now, it's about getting consistently on the field for Glasgow. That's my next target. I need to keep working hard and building the minutes. And then if the road takes me to Scotland, then it takes me there. And that was by Ewan Booth Robertson. The Glasgow Times on the 17th of November, and the news section. Hallowne can miss Scotland clash as Man City star suffers injury, by Adrian Smith. Erling Haaland could be set to miss Sunday's European qualifier with Scotland after the Manchester City star picked up an injury in a friendly clash. The former Borussia Dortmund man limped off as Norway defeated the Faroe Islands 2-0 last night, and it appeared to be an ankle issue that forced the striker to be replaced. Haaland has struggled with ankle injuries in the past, and the Norwegian team doctor, Ola Sand, believes it could be the same problem that has been aggravated. Sand revealed per VG, he's got a slight twist in his ankle, where he is a bit vulnerable. It hurts a lot right away, and then it goes away pretty quickly. Then we'll see tomorrow how he is then. This could force Haaland to miss Sunday's Hampden Park showdown as Scotland close out their European qualifiers, having already qualified for Germany 2024. Man City manager Pep Guardiola will also be sweating, knowing his side have a key Premier League fixture against Liverpool to come after the international break. Meanwhile, Scotland manager Steve Clarke praised his side for keeping their cool and using George's time-wasting shenanigans to their advantage after Lawrence Shankland headed a stoppage time equaliser in Tbilisi. Georgia twice took the lead through the impressive Napoli attacker Kvitsa Kvaratskhelia, but late call-up Shankland earned Scotland a 2-2 draw when he headed home fellow substitute Stuart Armstrong's cross 2 minutes into added time. Despite Scotland having already sealed their Euro 2024 place and Georgia knowing they face a playoff in March, there was a real competitive edge to the game, with three yellow cards for each team and a melee in each half. Clarke felt his side reacted well to some lengthy stoppages for treatment to home players and took advantage of the 8 minutes added on. Clarke said, "That's one of the challenges when you come here. You know they will do everything they can to get a positive result. You have to react to that. We have to make sure we control ourselves and don't get involved. Don't encourage any sort of shenanigans. We just kept going, kept plugging away, and we knew there were going to be extra time because now they have a better handle on time wasted. And it was nice to score in injury time." And that was by Adrian Smith. The Glasgow Times on the 17th of November, and the sports section. Sutton asks, "Why wouldn't Gordon want to play for Scotland?" by Ewan Payton. Chris Sutton has posed the question, why wouldn't Anthony Gordon want to play for Scotland? The former Celtic striker believes the Newcastle United attacker should seriously consider switching international allegiances to Steve Clarke's side ahead of Euro 2024. The Scots have automatically qualified for the major tournament in Germany next year. Gordon is currently an England under-21 international, so it's clearly in the thoughts of those in power at the FA, including Gareth Southgate. However, as Sutton points out, when even Raheem Sterling isn't getting a call-up, then competition for places is extremely stiff. Gordon is one of a number of Newcastle players who are eligible to play for Scotland. Elliot Anderson, Harvey Barnes and Tino Livramento are also under consideration by Clarke. Sutton said it's on the It's All Kicking Off podcast. The fact Anthony Gordon's played for England under-21s is a big deal, but the longer he goes and the position for which he plays in is a really competitive position, normally off the left-hand side for Newcastle, but you've got Raheem Sterling, for example, who you can't get in the squad. Would we think at this moment in time he's ahead of Anthony Gordon in the pecking order? Yes, we would. So as the years go on, then of course Anthony Gordon will have thinking to do. From his perspective, it must be about him seeing himself to progress in the near future with England. Otherwise, why wouldn't he want to go and play for Scotland in a major tournament? Scotland have already qualified for the Euros, so it'll be interesting to see whether Gareth makes a decision on Anthony Gordon quickly, or whether Anthony Gordon thinks, do you know what, sod it, I want to play in the Euros, I'll go and play. And I don't think we could argue with him to make that decision. So that's food for thought, isn't it, for Anthony Gordon? He had a difficult time, didn't he, leaving Everton under a cloud and, you know, a lot of attention on him. He looked to be sort of young man with a really fiery temper. But Eddie Howe's got him playing well on the pitch for Newcastle. That's the most important thing, and he's progressing nicely. So from his perspective, he's in a good place right now, and eventually he'll have a decision to make with regards to who his allegiances are for international level. And that was by Ewan Payton. The Glasgow Times on the 17th of November and the sports section. What pot will Scotland be in for the Euro 2024 group stage draw? By Ewan Payton. Scotland fans are preparing for a party this weekend as they send off Steve Clarke's side after a memorable 2023. Clarke has guided the nation back to back European Championships with a place in Germany secured next summer. Thousands of brave fans have already started to book travel and accommodation for the tournament, which begins in June. And while there are no concrete answers as to where supporters should base themselves as of yet, things will become clearer very soon. The draw for Euro 2024 will take place on Saturday, December 2, and it's on that day Scotland will discover their three group stage opponents. The small matter of determining each of the four pots for the draw is still to be finalised, though. It will be confirmed after the final round of the qualifiers. Scotland's final match comes at Hampden against Norway on Sunday evening. There is a chance they could end up in pot 1, 2 or 3, but definitely not 4. Clarke is adamant his side are focused on finishing the campaign well after their 2-2 draw in Georgia on Thursday night. So here's what will happen depending on the remaining various Group A permutations. Pot 1, this is an extremely unlikely outcome for Scotland. It's mathematically possible, although require a quite extraordinary result. Should Scotland beat Norway and claim another 3 points to top the qualifying section, they would need to hope that Georgia beats Spain in their own backyard. Should this sequence come to pass, then Scotland would finish on 19 points with Spain remaining on 18. And so Scotland would take a spot among the top seeds in Pot 1. Pot 2. Earning a place in Pot 2 is very much in Scotland's hands. Should Clarke's side beat Norway by a minimum of a 2-goal at the weekend, or they win by a margin of 1 while scoring 4 goals in the process, then it's pot 2 for Scotland. Pot 3, this is where Scotland is right now, and it's where they will be placed if neither of the two scenarios above come to pass. This could be the best case for the Scots, as the likes of Serbia, Denmark and the Netherlands will also be in this section of the draw. And that was by Ewan Payton.
From the Glasgow Times, Monday the 20th of November, from the sports section, Celtic makes Sidney Van Hooydonk transfer interest known. Article by Josh Mackay. Celtic are reportedly making some early moves ahead of the January transfer window, with a familiar name once again linked with the Scottish champions. The club is said to have made their interest in Bologna striker Sidney Van Hooydonk known to the Italian side. Sidney, the son of former Hoops star Pierre, was linked with a move to the Champions of Scotland last summer, but Bologna boss Thiago Motta encouraged the young player to stay at the club. He offered him the chance to impress in Serie A, following a successful loan spell at Dutch side Heerenveen. The 23-year-old netted 16 goals in 35 Eredivisie games, but has failed to contribute this season. Van Hooydonk has played less than 45 minutes of league football this term, but he did score in his only start of the campaign in a 2-1 victory over Verona in the Coppa Italia. Media outlet Corriere di Bologna now says that Motta is happy for the forward to leave the club on a loan deal this winter to make room for new recruits, and they are welcoming to potential approaches. The player's agent is also said to be looking for space elsewhere in order to try and reignite the player's career and give him a kickstart. The Glasgow Giants are said to have made their first inquiries over bringing in the Dutch forward. Brendan Rodgers has made it no secret that the club is in the market for another striker in the January transfer window. With both Kyoga Furuhashi and Hyeon Goji Oh set to play in the Asian Cup in January, the Parkhead boss will be left short of options, and a loan signing may be ideal. With the club eyeing up early moves, Van Hooydonk could well be a viable option for the Hoops in the short term, with potentially a view to a more permanent fixture in the future. And that article was by Josh Mackay. From the Glasgow Times, Monday the 20th of November, Sport. Euro 2024 draw, when is it and who could Scotland face? Article by Ewan Payton. Scotland are heading to Germany, and the fans are ready for a party. Supporters are planning their travel and accommodation plans for next summer's European Championships. It is not yet clear where Scotland will play their games or be based for their matches. But the draw for the competition is fast approaching. Here are all of the details you need to know about the Euro 2024 draw. The draw will take place on Saturday, December the 2nd. It will commence at 5 p.m. UK time. It will be held in Hamburg, Germany. Is the draw for Euro 2024 on TV, and can I live stream it? While the draw is not on TV, thankfully the draw will be available to watch. UEFA will broadcast the draw live on their official website, YouTube channel and app. Who could Scotland get in the draw? The pots for next summer's European Championships have yet to be officially determined. The seeding is instead based on how well the teams performed in qualifying. Scotland were pulled out of the hat from pot 3, and some of the teams in other sections have also been confirmed. However, while some nations have sealed their qualification, they have yet to be assigned a pot. Pot 1, Germany, Portugal, France, Belgium, Spain. Pot 2, Hungary, Denmark, Austria. Pot 3, Scotland, Slovakia. Full list of confirmed teams: Albania, Austria, Belgium, Denmark, England, France, Hungary, Netherlands, Portugal, Romania, Serbia, Slovakia, Spain, Switzerland and Turkey. Where will the Euro 2024 games be played? There are 10 host cities as part of the tournament. It all kicks off in Munich on June 14th, with the final taking place exactly a month later in Berlin. Full list of host cities: Berlin, Olympia Stadion, Cologne, Cologne Stadium, Dortmund, BVB Stadion Dortmund, Düsseldorf, Düsseldorf Arena, Frankfurt, Frankfurt Arena, Gelsenkirchen, Arena Aufschalk, Hamburg,
Volksparkstadion Hamburg, Leipzig, Leipzig Stadium, Munich, Munich Football Arena, Stuttgart, Stuttgart Arena. How can I get tickets for Euro 2024? As mentioned, thousands have already booked up travel and accommodation for Germany, even though there is yet no indication of where Scotland will be based for their games. It seems it will be a case of planes, trains and automobiles for fans keen to watch the country at another major tournament in quick succession after the last Euros in 2021. The first phase of the ticket ballot, which is open to the public, closed in October. Around 1.2 million tickets were sold as part of this process. The second part of this ballot will take place following the playoffs in March. It is believed that each member association will receive 9,500 tickets per game. So, with 38,000 members of the Scotland Supporters Club, there will be many left disappointed, unfortunately. And that article was by Ewan Payton. From the Glasgow Times, Monday the 20th of November, from the sports section, ex-Celtic attacker Ilja Nussi on Norway belief versus Scotland, article by Ewan Payton. Mohamed Ilja Nussi admits he expected to score at Hampden as Norway secured a late draw against Scotland last night. The former Celtic winger scored in the final moments of the match to put a damper on Scotland's Euro 2024 qualification party. The Copenhagen attacker tapped home at the back post after Alexander Clark missed a cross into the box. Ilja Nussi visited Hampden during his time at Celtic and enjoyed happy memories at the National Stadium. He lifted both the League Cup and Scottish Cup during his two-year stint in Glasgow. Despite a poor 2021 for Celtic, Ilja Nussi still reflects back fondly on his time at the club before returning to Southampton ahead of Ange Postecoglou's arrival. And the 29-year-old admits his time in the Premiership led to his belief that he would do the business in the final Euro 2024 qualifier last night. After the game, he told NTB, "That's almost how I expected it from myself. I have good memories from here, also from this stadium, with trophies and goals. It was almost like it was written down that I was going to score. It was awkward that they took the lead, but I knew it was a chance to come in and help turn the game around for us." Meanwhile, forgotten Celtic man Marco Tellio is set to consider a loan move away from the club in January, according to a report. The Daily Record states that the 22-year-old will look to move on temporarily in the transfer window should he not get a first-team opportunity before this. The Australian joined the Scottish champions from Melbourne City in the summer. He was an Ange Postecoglou signing prior to his decision to leave the club and join Tottenham. Tellio has not really had a look in under Brendan Rodgers though. And that article was by Ewan Payton. From the Glasgow Times, Monday the 20th of November, from the sports section, Yanis Hadji praised by dad after difficult year at Rangers. Article by Ewan Payton. Yanis Hadji's dad, Jorge, has praised his boy for recovering from a difficult year at Rangers. The legendary football figure believes his son is better for it. The 25-year-old scored the goal to set Romania to Euro 2024 at the weekend as he defeated Israel in dramatic circumstances. Hadji is currently on loan with La Liga side Alves after Michael Beale decided to send him out on loan during the summer. The playmaker suffered a tough time at Ibrox in the months before his temporary exit, having worked his way back to fitness after a full year out with a knee injury. He fell down the pecking order after the additions of Sam Lammers and Todd Cantwell in recent transfer windows. Now Jorge, who played for both Barcelona and Real Madrid, believes his son's injury worries are behind him. The 58-year-old told Pro Sport, "I am happy for Yanis because he went through a very difficult year. To come back after 12 months of injuries, he worked very hard. He's on the right track. From a physical point of view, he looks good, and we are happy that he is on the field. That's what we want, for him to be healthy. Then, we know what he's capable of doing." Meanwhile, of the myriad criticisms that are levelled at Ross Wilson's tenure as sporting director at Rangers, perhaps the most valid is his failure to put quality young Scots at the centre of the football department's transfer strategy. After all, there has barely been a successful time in history when the notion the club shops locally first and foremost hasn't been front and centre in their market thinking. Across 2 tenures, Walter Smith, who undoubtedly set the benchmark for modern Ibrox managers in his second spell, made sure to fill the team with men who made cliches flesh. Bleed for the jersey? Check. Understand the remorseless win-or-die culture? Check. Able to perform in a physically unforgiving league? Check. In contrast, throughout Wilson's time, only Scott Wright can be identified as a young Scot signing of note. That record would be less egregious if the ones that had got away were not excelling just a few short years on. And that article was by Ewan Payton. From the Glasgow Times, Monday the 20th of November, from the sports section, Lewis Palma Celtic injury blow as winger limps out of Honduras clash. Article by Josh Mackay. Celtic winger Lewis Palma could be set for a period on the sidelines after picking up an injury on international duty. This season, the Honduran has been one of Celtic's main men going forward, scoring 4 goals and providing 5 assists in the league alone, as well as scoring in the Champions League against Atletico Madrid. Palma now appears to be taking his domestic form onto the international stage, as he starred in a 2-0 victory over Mexico in the first leg of the CONCACAF Nations League semi-final clash, and he also landed the Man of the Match award. But Palma's match was cut short due to injury, and Honduras boss Reinaldo Rueda has revealed that his player could now be a doubt for the second leg on Tuesday night. Rueda said, Luis Vega has a discomfort in his shoulder and a small discomfort that Lewis Palma has had in a duel he had with Sanchez. We have those situations. Today we will have our first training session. Yesterday recovery work was done, all joint mobility was stimulated, and we will see the evolution of the entire group. It was revealed after the game by Rueda that the concern over Palma may be as a result of his constant battle with Mexico right back George Sanchez. Celtic boss Rodgers will be hoping for some clarity over the availability of one of his star men ahead of this weekend's upcoming fixture against Motherwell. Should Palma be unavailable for Celtic after the international break, it would be a huge blow for Brendan Rodgers, with Daisy Maeda and Leila Bada both already out with long-term injuries. Other injury concerns for Celtic include Kyogo Furuhashi, who suffered a head injury in Celtic's huge 6-0 win over Aberdeen, and Rio Hatate, who also remains sidelined long term. And that article was by Josh Mackay. From the Glasgow Times, Monday the 20th of November, Sport. Rangers ace McCausland in transfer link amid contract talks. Article by Aidan Smith. Brentford are eyeing a possible transfer swoop of Rangers youngster Ross McCausland, according to reports. The Northern Ireland international has risen to stardom in recent weeks, with appearances for the Ibrox first team under Philippe Clement, and was rewarded for his form when he received his first full international call-up. McCausland is out of contract at Rangers in the summer, but the club have tabled terms in a new deal to ensure he remains in Glasgow. However, the Daily Record now report that the Premier League outfit Brentford are keen to try and tempt McCausland south, and they could sign him for as little as £300,000 in training compensation. It is understood that Rangers want to tie up negotiations quickly for the 19-year-old who has risen through the youth ranks at Ibrox. McCausland could feature for Northern Ireland this evening as his country takes on Denmark in Euro 2024 qualifying. Meanwhile, Ryan Jack will have Euro 2024 thoughts at the back of his mind until next summer, after Scotland's qualifiers concluded with a 3-3 draw against Norway. Jack said, "We all go back to our clubs. There's obviously a lot of football to be played. Everyone will have a lot of big games to play from now until then. It is always at the back of your mind. You're never going to just forget what we have achieved. And it's going to give everyone motivation to play well, to play consistently for their club and do everything we can to be part of it. It's been a great campaign. We qualified with a couple of games to spare, and that has not been done for a long time. We wanted to go out with wins, but at the start of the campaign, the most important thing was qualifying, and we did that." And that article was by Aidan Smith. From the Glasgow Times, Monday the 20th of November, in the sports section. When is the Celtic AGM and what will be discussed? Article by Josh Mackay. Celtic's relevant shareholders will meet with the board this week, where they will be given the chance to ask all the important questions at the club AGM. The AGM is always a hot topic of discussion for Celtic fans, who hope they will be represented well, and they will be looking to get clarity on matters of importance. The controversial and ongoing ban of the Green Brigade is likely to be a major talking point on an otherwise fairly positive day, given the success on and off the pitch that the club have had over the 12 months, with another treble win and impressive financial figures. The issue surrounding the group of fans is one that is not going away, and is strong on the minds of a lot of fans at the moment, who want to see this feud resolved ASAP. Questions will likely be asked of the board about the ongoing situation, which has also led to fellow fan group, the Boys, walking out of games at Celtic Park in solidarity. Here is everything you need to know about the Celtic AGM. When is the Celtic AGM? The club confirmed earlier this month that the AGM will be held at Celtic Park on Wednesday, November the 22nd. Proceedings will begin at 11:30 a.m. Can I attend the AGM? Celtic shareholders are invited to attend and vote in the annual general meeting, which is expected to be held in the Kerrydale Suite at Celtic Park. What is on the agenda? Many Celtic fans will have their own list of issues that they will be hoping are discussed. However, the club have outlined the resolutions that they are planning to clarify. Resolution 1. Annual report and accounts. Resolution 2. Reappointment of Peter Lowell. Resolution 3. Reappointment of Brian Rose. Resolution 4. Reappointment of Dermot Desmond. Resolution 5. Reappointment of Tom Allison. Resolution 6. Reappointment of Brian Wilson. Resolution 7. Reappointment of Sharon Brown. Resolutions 8 and 9. Appointment and remuneration of auditors. Resolution 10. Authority to allot shares. Special. Resolution 11. Disapplication of preemption rights. And that article was by Josh Mackay. That concludes this week's edition of the Glasgow Times Sports Podcast. Please remember to subscribe to our channels at Kieran Review and to tell your friends about our service.